The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Colm Bouygues of Off the Ball joins me, as always, to review the sport. Let's start with the pretty devastating result. No Grand Slam for Ireland in the rugby, home venue against France, and perhaps the 4-8 scoreline with late tries for Ireland after the match was, you know, effectively won by France, putting a gloss on it. It was a bit of a disaster, wasn't it?
That's exactly the word for it. Yeah, between Dan Sheehan's try to start the second half and Kian Healy's try right at the end of the second half, France scored 34 unanswered points. It was basically a point a minute on average. And it was a devastating act, really, that is rarely seen in Irish rugby for the national side. You go back to the 2019 Six Nations, the opener against England, where we got hockeyed as well. And then in the 2022 series against New Zealand, the first test, we were well beaten. But they're rare, really.
No, and I think sort of 1 in 20 at the Aviva, like being beaten.
It's so good.
One thing to happen in Paris. I mean, like a lot of people are saying that Sam Prendergast was the problem, that we're trying to fit a team around him. I don't know if Aki went off injured. I was just reading this on social media. But obviously there was always this issue with the kind of 6-1-7-1 subs thing, that they were going to bring on these tanks. And the power game, which has happened to Leinster so many times against French clubs, that's really the damage, is it?
Yeah, well, it's funny because France went 7-1, like you say, and they used their one early because of Antoine Dupont going off. So they brought out their scrum half, Maxime Lucu, who was brilliant. And then what they had to do was they had to bring Oscar Jégu on in the centre because they had an injury. They had a concussion in centre, which was the Calvin Nash high tackle. So they had a flanker playing centre and he ended up scoring a try. So they have power to go with skill and pace. And I think what Saturday showed was that Ireland, as well as it's going for Ireland the last number of years, they're on the cusp of history with the Six Nations. There's a lot of shortcomings and it comes really with skill, flair and pace, which we're lacking a lot of. The big absence, Ivan, was James Lowe minutes before kickoff went down injured in the warm-up, had a back spasm. So James Lowe isn't playing and then Calvin Nash comes in. He's not even in 23 originally, so he's straight in the Munster winger and right wing. And then Jamie Osborne, who was in for the injured Mack Hansen, he has to switch to the other wing. Now that kind of suits
but
him
if you
playing
don't
the left,
get the ball,
with left foot.
You know, up front.
Well, no, we did though. We did. We had 80% possession for the first quarter of an hour, 80% territory. And we had loads of opportunities to score tries in the first 15 minutes. Okay. We went four different entries into their 22. Caelan Dorris got held up. Sam Prendergast missed the penalty, hit the post. So there was opportunities. But France rode that storm. And when France scored their first try, the confidence built. That's despite the best player in the world going off injured, Antoine Dupont.
So looking forward to next weekend.
Yeah.
Any win in Paris by France secures them the Six Nations. England are sort of in the frame
with
Ireland.
Yeah, they can go second. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, it's amazing, really. They can go up second. So England play Wales, and like you say, France play
in
Scotland.
In Cardiff, though. Yeah,
Cardiff, which would be interesting, Principality Stadium, and then we go to Rome against Italy. And the question then from us is, like, do we make the changes? Does Jack Crowley come in for Sam Prendergast? The three lads who are finishing up, Kian Healy, Conor Murray, Pete Romani, are they involved? Is sentiment thrown out the window? Do we have to go back to winning ways? Really, you could argue that this is the start of the World Cup preparation for 2027. History has gone
in transition.
Yeah, we can't retain the Six Nations. We can't do it three in a row.
I watched Ederson let in a soft goal. Woes for City continue. Liverpool, apparently Slot was furious with his team despite a 3-1 win over or Southampton. But the talking point of the weekend is that Arsenal's whole challenge has dissipated because of strikers and no strikers. And Arteta walked out of an interview at the end. I mean, like, who's to blame here? Arteta, the board, or who?
Well, the recruitment, I would say, for sure. I mean, Edu, who was part of the recruitment, he went to the Nottingham Forest group. It's really strange, Ivan. He just doesn't sign strikers. Like, he's playing Mikel Moreno, who's a defensive midfielder, up front. Moreno hasn't played up front since he was 8 years of age. And yet, meanwhile, they have Raheem Sterling on the bench. They don't bring him on. They signed Sterling last summer from Chelsea. And like they have a guy, Ricardo Calafiori, the left back, he could play up front. He's probably more technically gifted player than Marino and he scores goals. But they just have a huge paucity of options in attack. They generally don't, they're not great goal scorers anyway. But what they have is a really good defence in midfield. But like you look at this Manchester United side at the moment, Ivan, and if you don't beat them, there's something seriously wrong with you.
You're a big man, new head, they were all telling me, you know.
Yeah,
but they, right, I mean, like, however City and Arsenal are suffering, it's nothing to United. I mean,
no, it's
like,
not. But then weirdly,
they're neither lead nor drive at the moment.
Yeah, but it's weird. Like, they look at their results recently, Ivan. It's like they're getting draws and wins here and there, United. They're not actually that bad on paper, but then you watch them in person, it's a totally different story altogether. There's
but
no
in the first half,
at all.
Arsenal totally dominated.
Ah, yeah, but it was
and
a poor
late
first
free
half.
Kick, yeah.
I mean, geez, thank God for the free kick at the end because there were some highlights to show because they were scrambling.
Do you believe in the manager?
Ruben Amorim.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I like him. Yeah. There's something weird about him in this world of negativity in the club that he's strangely positive about it.
Yeah.
He's very transparent about what's going wrong. Like, he will tell you straight up, Ivan, like, this is the worst side I've ever seen.
I know.
This job is really tough. But he says it with a smile.
I think a lot of Man U fans have lost hope.
The tone of the message matters. And there's something the way he talks that people aren't really against him totally. United fans, they've given up to an extent. When you give up, sometimes that's when things improve, when you hit real rock bottom.
Okay.
And it seems to be that's the way United.
Well, you remember with Tommy Doherty, they went down one time before.
Oh, in the 1970s. Yeah, I mean, that could happen.
It's all Dennis Law repeating them. Itself after Fergie, after Busby.
Yeah,
now,
that's true.
Tell us on a brighter note about our Athletic win
amazing.
In the Netherlands yesterday.
Well, there was like 36 minutes yesterday where Ireland won 3 medals, one in every 12 minutes. So we had Mark English winning bronze in the 800 metres, right?
Yeah.
That's his third bronze overall in his career. Kate O'Connor in the pentathlon, she won bronze, which is an incredible result because she had to come back to get that. And then the big headline was Sarah Healy from Monkstown here in Dublin. She won gold in the 3,000 metres.
800 or 3,000?
She's 3,000, Mark Healy's 800, yeah.
And tell me, is this out of nowhere or has she been knocking on the door?
No, she's been knocking. Like, she is young, like, and she's had some disappointing finishes, I suppose, in her races in modern history. So she lamented that actually afterwards when speaking to TV. But it's amazing goal to come out of nowhere really to win that. To win it that high up because, you know, it's not even getting into the medals contention. Then she wins gold.
All right. Now, the most exciting. Stop your clocks. I know people who flew out to Bristol and Birmingham at 6 o'clock this morning. Yeah. A huge Irish contingent. I think in the first race, in the novice hurdle tomorrow, there's only 2 English runners. So, I mean, expectations of 20 Irish winners, perhaps. Willie Mullins, Gordon Elliott, Gavin Cromwell, and on it goes. John Duggan is there for off the ball.
He is.
Now, he's a hardened punter. Serious punter.
He is, and
very knowledgeable about racing. So we're going to be speaking to him every morning. Now, I hope he'll be awake in time because, you know, like, if he gets a few pints, it'll be very hard to have him up in the morning.
Oh, he's a work hard, play hard guy, John Duggan. he'll be up. Don't worry about that. Like,
if he doesn't go to bed,
it doesn't matter. He'll be on with us every morning off the ball breakfast, Ivan. I know you'll be tuning in if you can.
Oh, no,
in the ad break between them.
All right.
Because, yeah, he'll have everything for you. He whetted the appetite nicely. The weather's good this year, which is a change.
And watering. Absolutely.
That's a big change.
All right. Colm Buick, thank you so much for that review of the weekend. We skipped through a lot.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.